In the summer of 1942, as Nazi persecution of Jews intensified in Amsterdam, 13-year-old Anne Frank and her family vanished from their apartment. They didn't flee the country. They simply moved upstairs. Behind a bookcase in her father's office building at 263 Prinsengracht lay the secret annex, a hidden apartment where the Franks would spend the next 2 years in hiding. Soon joined by the Van Don family and a dentist named Mr. Dussel, 8 people would live in this confined space, unable to step outside, open windows, or make noise during business hours. Their survival depended entirely on a small group of Otto Frank's employees who risked their lives daily to bring food, supplies, and news to the hidden families. While workers bustled below, those in hiding remained frozen in silence, unable even to flush a toilet until evening fell. Through it all, Anne meticulously documented their extraordinary confinement in her diary, addressing it to Kitty, an imaginary friend who became her most intimate confidant in a world where privacy had become impossible. What makes Anne's diary transcend mere historical documentation is the extraordinary personality that leaps from its pages. Her writing reveals a remarkably self-aware teenager who recognizes her own contradictions. "I'm split in two," she confesses. "One side contains my exuberant cheerfulness. The other side, the better and deeper side, isn't accessible to everyone." This duality becomes a central theme as she navigates the claustrophobic annex, observing the adults around her with the sharp eye of a natural psychologist. She captures Mrs. Van Don's flirtatiousness, Mr. Dussel's rigid habits, and her mother's emotional distance with both frustration and compassion. Despite her confinement, Anne's intellectual growth is remarkable. She devours books, teaches herself shorthand, practices languages, and develops sophisticated political views. "Women should be respected," she writes with emerging feminist consciousness, "for they endure sickness, weakness, and motherhood, not to mention the fact that they must bear the brunt of male self-conceit." Perhaps most touching is watching Anne navigate universal adolescent milestones while in hiding. She writes candidly about menstruation, her changing body, and her evolving feelings toward Peter Van Dan, the teenage son of the other family. Their relationship transforms from irritation to friendship and eventually romance, providing a stark contrast to their grim circumstances. "I think spring is inside me," she writes after their first kiss. Anne struggles for independence from her parents, particularly her mother, whom she feels criticizes her constantly. She battles for autonomy while recognizing that survival depends on following strict rules. What makes her account powerful is how she balances typical teenage concerns, appearance, crushes, writing ambitions, with profound reflections on human nature and war. She develops remarkable perspective, writing, "I don't think of all the misery, but of the beauty that still remains," demonstrating wisdom beyond her years. While Anne focuses on daily life, the Holocaust's shadow looms over every page. Through radio broadcasts and helper reports, annex residents learn about escalating Jewish persecution. Anne writes of hearing German boots below and the dreadful things happening outside, families separated, children orphaned, communities disappearing. Unlike historical accounts written later, Anne records events as they unfold without knowing the outcome. She mentions hearing about gas chambers but questions their existence, reflecting widespread disbelief that such atrocities could occur in modern Europe. Her Jewish identity grows increasingly important during hiding. Initially seeing herself primarily as Dutch, she develops deeper connection to her heritage as persecution continues, questioning why being Jewish should make her different from non-Jewish friends. Despite living under constant threat, experiencing nightmares, anxiety during air raids, and physical stress symptoms, she maintains remarkable hope, writing her famous line, "I still believe, in spite of everything, that people are truly good at heart." Life in the secret annex meant 8 people sharing a space never intended for habitation. Anne vividly describes the challenges, the impossibility of escaping conflicts, the frustration of sharing limited resources, and the strain of constant proximity. She details irritations with Mr. Dussel, with whom she shares a tiny room, his monopolizing their desk, his snoring, his rigid bathroom schedule. As the war progresses, food becomes an increasing source of tension, with meticulous division of rations sparking arguments over mere spoonfuls. Perhaps most difficult is the lack of solitude, and craving time alone to write and think has virtually no privacy. She retreats to the attic for reflection, but even these moments are frequently interrupted. The inability to go outside takes a tremendous psychological toll. She writes longingly about nature and freedom, describing how breathing through a crack in the attic window becomes one of her few pleasures. The visible chestnut tree becomes her symbol of the natural world she's been cut off from, its seasonal changes noted with almost religious devotion. Throughout her confinement, Anne maintained ambitious plans for her future. She pursued rigorous self-education and developed her writing with increasing seriousness. "I want to be useful or bring enjoyment to all people, even those I've never met," she wrote. "I want to go on living even after my death." After hearing a radio broadcast about collecting wartime accounts, she began editing her diary with publication in mind, creating pseudonyms for the annex residents. She imagined herself as a journalist and writer who would make a difference through her words, planning to publish Het Achterhaus, The Secret Annex, after the war. Anne dreamed of normal teenage experiences and wrote about becoming a better person, reflecting how noble and good everyone could be if, at the end of each day, they were to review their own behavior and weigh up the rights and wrongs. Her diary ends abruptly on August 1, 1944. 3 days later, the secret annex was raided, following what investigators believe was a tip from an informant. Anne's diary fulfilled her wish. "I want to go on living even after my death." When Otto Frank, the annex's sole survivor, returned to Amsterdam after the war, Miep Gies gave him Anne's diary she had saved. Reading it revealed his daughter's rich inner life he hadn't known. Published in 1947 as Het Achterhaus, Anne's chosen title, the diary humanized genocide statistics by giving one victim a voice that speaks directly across generations. The Anne Frank House now attracts over 1 million visitors annually, while educational programs based on her diary teach tolerance worldwide. Anne's legacy resonates not just because of her tragic fate, dying of typhus at Bergen-Belsen weeks before liberation, but because of her extraordinary hope despite every reason for despair. Her belief that people are truly good at heart continues to challenge us. Through her diary, this ordinary girl with remarkable insight reminds us of both the darkest and brightest possibilities of human nature. In our world still divided by hatred, Anne's voice urges us to see the humanity in each other and recognize that behind every statistic is a person with dreams, flaws, and a complex inner life.